Morning, and to be asked for this. So let's just pray, yeah? Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit. Because I'm feeling pretty drunk here, you know, so I feel function better when I'm feeling drunk. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come now. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I just ask you to just come right now, Lord, and just move up and down each aisle right now. And just start readying people's hearts, Lord, for what you want to say this morning. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus. Yeah, thank you, God. Just start speaking to people, Lord, getting them ready for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, the word I've got for you this morning, I'm just going to explain how it came about. God, as many of you know, we went through a real difficult time as a church. And when God first gave this word to me, it was back in May, in a villa in Lanzarote. Drew and Emma are here this morning. It was when you two were out shopping for an hour and a half and got lost. We were seeking God. And it's one of the words that God really was speaking to me and Louise about a number of things. And one of them was that healing rooms was going to be used to bring healing to the church. And he gave me and Louise both a vision, the same vision of the cross, the river, and the bin. And we put that into action just the other Friday night. But the other thing that God really laid on my heart, well, what if the opportunity came that I would speak on this? And he says, you know, when the opportunity comes, but there was no opportunity at that time. But I thought, okay, God, you know. So he laid this on my heart and he says, tell my people that I will restore what the locusts have stolen. But I will give back to them double portion. And it's amazing that you had that scripture this morning, because I've also got that scripture about double portion of blessings. And that mainly is what we're going to be speaking about this morning. So we're going to be speaking about restoring what the locusts have stolen. But I'm changing that into restoring, taking back what the enemy has stolen. So that's what I'm going to speak to you all this morning. And we're going to be reading from Joel 2, 1 to 32. I'm preaching from the book of the NIV version. And I've got these two ladies to come and read from a whole chapter, 16 verses each. So, but the verses that I will be interested in are mainly from 14 to 32.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them a desert waste, nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountain tops, like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors, they scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defences without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city, they run along the wall. They climb into the houses, like thieves they enter through the windows. Before them the earth shakes, the sky trembles. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, And mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind his a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests whose minister before the Lord weep behind the temple porch in the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn. A byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity for his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern army far away from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land, and its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, O Lord. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, O wild animals. For the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in his righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm. My great army that I send among you, you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel. I am the Lord your God, that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit into those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The earth will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord said, among the survivors who the Lord calls.
You girls, that was really good, well clear. Yeah, so you might look at that and think, gosh, judgment of Israel. But that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, in that passage, because we are the new Israel, and we don't have to fear judgment. For it says in Romans 8, verse 1, for there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And Jesus came and changed all that. But what I am interested in this passage is the double portion blessings that God has promised his people. And especially in verse 25, where it says, I will repay what the locusts have stolen, restore what the locusts have stolen. God is going to restore back to us double portion blessings. And in this passage, I'm going to show you now that there are seven in there. And I've had a week off work, so I've really studied this. I've had my concordance out. I found seven in this passage. And I'm going to show you, and they're in from verse 23. And I'm going to try and put an example on every one of them. I couldn't find note for one and two when I was with Alex yesterday, but I'm just going to use my word of knowledge and try and put some on as I go through and just see what God's saying. So, yeah? Yeah. No, you want one. Ah, this is it. He's already before me. He has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. And that one is provision for his people. So in there you can see provision for his people. That's one of the first promises that God has promised his church. And I would say provision for his people there and financial prosperity. I'm glad you put that one up. I didn't have nothing for these two yesterday, but what all I'm getting now straight away is the church meeting. Our offerings went up, so God has got our back, basically, because people left and yet our offerings went up. So that's what I'm getting for that. And financial prosperity, I would say, my boss in here this morning, is she? Right, yeah, I would say that first year of marriage was really hard financially for us, and we were praying for a part-time job. Noah came along very quickly, and God had our back. He provided a part-time job for me to. So I would say for me, financial prosperity, and now we have more than enough. God has really come to the front, and we don't worry about anything because we know God's got our back. So number three, Alex. Restoration. Now this one for me is the bigger, and I'm going to give you loads of examples of what I'm seeing. When God first spoke to me about this word back in May, I looked at our church and I thought, my goodness me, there's no hope. There was no green shoots of anything. It was just a war zone. There was emails flying backwards and forward. It was just not good. But now I look around and I see that this is the right time to speak this, because I'm seeing new shoots of growth wherever I look, you know. I believe it started the beginning of September, where we started to see things happen. But then the Friday night meeting, I believe that was significant in the fact that we were saying sorry to God, and we were coming in repentance. And in saying sorry, that has pleased God. And just in the worship that night, I mean, I led worship, and it was just like the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit just fell. I mean, I started singing in tongues, and it just spread around the whole church. And we didn't really need, we had backing tracks planned, but it was just songs breaking out all over. The Holy Spirit, Jesus was here. It was thick with God's presence. And I haven't felt that since the church is in Brazil, I have to say, where you could just walk through a room and you could feel his presence. And it was just thick with God's presence because he was here. So the Friday night service. And then a few weeks ago, many of you remember, I was leading worship then again. And Johnny's daughter stood up. I don't know her name. Esther, she had an amazing word. I mean, it was right at the end, and she said a word, and you just knew it was straight from God. And she just says, "I've come every time I visit this church, I see that this church is built on a rock. This church is built on a solid foundation. And no matter what storms of life come against it, this church will not move. This church will grow." And she spoke such truth, and we just declared it over the church, and it was just an amazing word. So, you know, and then there's the special miracles that we started to see. You know, just the other Friday in healing rooms, me and Louise had our feet up there like we do sometimes because no one's there. And we heard footsteps up the steps. We knew it wasn't the cleaner because she'd gone, and she always asked me to alarm the building. So we were just there, and this family of four people came. And it was at the end of a very, very difficult week for me, because my dad has got prostate cancer, and he's been told they can't do no more for him. He's a Christian, he's got a strong faith in God, and it was really a hard week that week, because basically he's dying. And he seriously still believes that God's going to heal him. And we go along with that. But we also are going to have to come to the place where we're going to have to say, "Dad, I don't think God's going to heal you. I think he's taking you home. But we haven't got to that place yet. And it was really hard week. And this family had brought their father. And he had stomach cancer, throat cancer, Christian. And I just saw the sheet and I thought, God, what are you doing? At the end of a week like this, you send somebody with cancer to me? Because in Brazil, I saw tumor disappear. I saw someone get healed of cancer who I prayed for. And I saw a lady on end of life care in Bradford last year, healed, totally healed. She's living a normal life now. So I know God can do it, but he's not doing it with my own dad. And I don't understand why. One day we'll understand. And I just took a look at this sheet and I thought, throat cancer, stomach cancer. And I just came downstairs and I just said to Louise, how can I do this? How can I pray for a man at the end of this week? This is hard. And she just says, we were over there, because we always go out of the room and pray for people. And she just says, I just see a flame coming above your head. And the moment she said that, it was like she plugged me into the socket. My arms were getting up, my hands were getting up, and I just felt absolutely, totally charged up. And I was like, you know, drunk and ready. I was ready. And so I knew that God said, you can do this. So she just says to me then, she says, how do you want to pray for him? And I says, I just feel that I need to do a Smith Wigglesworth, go in there and take authority and do it. So I marched up the steps. Now, when I say Smith Wigglesworth, don't mean I threw him against the wall, kicked him, punched him, stood on his head. I basically went in there and I took authority. And I just went in and I just says, can you stand, please? Because I meant it, right? And so he stood up. And I just, Mom, I just, as soon as I knew God wanted to do business on him, and not many people who come to healing rooms stay vertical for long, they're usually horizontal. So I just started praying for him, and he went down, and I knew God was doing something with him because he was speaking in tongues while he was on the floor, because he has a strong faith in God. He truly believes, same as my dad, that God's going to heal him. And he was down there, and when he got back up, his family was in the sozo room. And they're all Christians, apart from one. And he came in, and he just said, I said to him, he says, when you came tonight, did you have pain? And he says, I had pain all down here. He says, but it's all gone. I said, oh, praise God. And I says, do something you couldn't do. And he was like this. Couldn't do that before. So we don't know the results of that scan, but that's just an example of one of the amazing miracles that we're now beginning to see in our church. So come on, we want more of that, you know? I mean, I was in Brazil and I saw blind eyes, deaf ears. I want to see them on Butter Show, you know? I want to go back to Brazil, yeah? Because I know God wants me to go back. But at this moment in time, I want to see them amazing miracles here, yeah? I want to see in my own church, right? And this is what I'm on about. This is what God wants. You know, I believe that something happened Friday night the other week. I really think it was significant. And that's why the Holy Spirit fell in this place. It was just phenomenal. For those that weren't here, God moved in a big way. It was like wading through. You could just feel it. I remember Gaff coming back through the door there and he says, oh, it's fit with God's presence in here. And it was. You know, you could just feel it. It was just amazing. So I would say that the restoration and the special miracles, yeah, so there's a special miracles there, which is put up. And that's what I want to see. I want to see all these people come in to healing rooms, and we're going to see it. We're going to see it. And number five is God's presence and favor. That's in verse 27. Did I do the other ones? I didn't, did I? Special miracles was in verse 26, for those that's taking notes. And restoration is in verse 25. And financial prosperity is in 24. And now we are now on God's presence and favor. I believe we're coming into a new season. As it says in Isaiah 43, verse 19, and he's not put my verse in. Okay, I'll read it out. Right. Yeah, he came to my house yesterday and he had to rush off, so I'll let him off for that one. So 43 verse 19, I absolutely love this verse, but I was supposed to be having it in the Message Bible because it really, really puts it in. Don't worry about it, Alex, I'll let you off. It was the Message, because I haven't got the Message Bible, so I don't. 43 verse 19, we are on, actually that's not it, Alex. No. No, it isn't. Oh, right, I'll tell you what it's about. It's the verse that mentions that we are, see, I am doing a new thing. You know the one? Do you not see it? That's the verse. I don't know where it is. Is it 17? It's 43 verse. That's it. That's the one. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. This is the message. This is the one I wanted. That's the verse. I like the way they put it. And God is doing something new. We're coming into a new season. And as I walked in this morning, I saw this. And I've been looking at it ever since. And it says, God is creating something new in Buttershaw. We have been painting, planting, watering. Now it's time for the harvest. What he is doing in us is unlike what he's done in the past. God is creating something new and unique in us and through us, what will bring life to this community. We can stand on that promise again. You know, that was done. I don't know when that was done, but I saw that when I came in this morning. I thought, that is perfect for this morning. You know? Right. God's presence and favor. And then number 6, blessings on your sons and daughters in verse 28. Yeah. What we do now will be seen by our sons. Where's my son? He's in creche. But in future generations, you know. I believe that we're just seeing something. God's just doing good. We're ready for something massive in this church. We really are. You know, it's better. The atmosphere is different. There's no... We need to get to a place, I believe, from what I've seen, we need to empower and release. Not empower and contain. But from what I saw, we were very good at empowering, but there was too much containing and controlling. We need to release people in their gifts. If you can preach, come and preach. If you can sing, do what I do. For 5 years, I put down the worship, and God says, pick it back up. Yeah? And so I did do. And I'm enjoying it again, you know. So, yeah, I just think, and then deliverance from oppression in verse 30, 32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said. Yeah, thank you, God. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, Jesus. Yeah. So we got a verse. You know, it's short and sweet this morning because basically I'm not used to doing this and I've made it shorter than what it could be. And this is this verse. It's what metal lad. It's just amazing. I can't. I just looked at Alex and I thought, is that the verse I've chosen? Yeah. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. And that's in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. You know, I believe that we're all, God wants to give us all a double portion of his blessings. What we had before, God is going to give it back to us, but in double. You know, many of us have lost something. I lost relationship. I did life with KSSM people, right? I was mentoring a new Christian, and they walked out. And that broke my heart. I lost a good friend, and I lost another one who I did first year on in KSSM. Walked out, left with Stuart. You know, and that hurt. So we've all lost something in what we've gone through. We've lost relationship, we've lost position. But already what I'm seeing around us is God is starting to restore things back to what they were. There's something happening with healing rooms, which I can't mention because it's got to go to a church meeting. But it's going to be bigger and better than it ever was because God is starting to restore. God's already starting to restore people back to positions that they lost. You can see it before our eyes. It's just exciting. We're living in an exciting time. And I believe that this church is going to grow because God's going to bring the people. You know, it's going to be really a good place to be. Because God's still got some healing work to do on people. You know, there's still some healing work to be done. And but God is just building people up, and the words are that he's going to restore back to each and every one of us what the enemy has stolen from us. You know, it really is. And so this verse, I have, for the first time ever, I have changed this verse into a declaration for the church. And I did this, and I want you all to stand, and I want us to declare this over ourselves as a church. So in red are the letters which we've changed. And so you're all in the kingdom school, and I want you to say it with passion, right? Just as I used to do. I used to have to do it every week. So instead of our shame, we will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, we will rejoice in our inheritance. And so we will inherit a double portion in our land. And everlasting joy will be ours. And in our land, I would say that's for sure, as well as the UK. But that is our land. This is our land. You know, we want to see people come. One of the things that we repented on was forgetting the estate out there. You know, they're the ones that suffered for a whole year and a half. Them people out there, you know. So we have to inherit our land again. So, yeah, so well done with that one. So that is a powerful verse. You know, I'm really pleased that Meryl read that earlier. But, yeah, that's my declaration. So... yeah, so that's short and sweet, but I hope it's powerful enough. If you don't take anything from today more, I want you to take the fact that God wants to give back to everybody what they've lost. The enemy has stolen a lot from us, but God is going to restore back to each and every one of us what the enemy has stolen. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. So good. I